3111. Welcome to the 311 radio show here on ZOB 92.9 FM, where we chat with the Barbados Fire Service. We hear what is happening, the latest news, of course, of fire safety tips, and so, so much more. I am Crystal J. Paul, and it is my honor today to have a very special guest, the Chief Fire Officer himself, Officer Errol Maynard. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, too. It's a pleasure being here.
Yes, thank you for accepting the invitation. And we have a Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer, Natasha Ford.
Hi, and a pleasant good afternoon to each and every one of you. And thanks for joining what promises to be a very heartwarming and enlightening, informative show today.
Thank you very much, Officer Ford. So this is like a get to know the chief edition, because, you know, it's good to hear from the one who's in charge, the one who has the aerial view, so to speak. You know, it's a different point of view, pun intended, when you can see what is happening on an from an overall perspective, and we can hear from the chief himself, get to know about the chief, and so here we go. So Chief Maynard, tell us a bit about Chief Errol Maynard. For how long have you been in the service, and please give us a little bit of your background.
I joined the Barbados Fire Service in 1985 until now. My math is not that very good, so I don't know how many years that is, probably too many. But for those who are good at math, it might end up being something like 36 years.
And that's right.
During that period, we've had a very exciting career. I've been promoted to the rank of leading fire officer when I was doing 10 and a half years. I waited another 8 years to be promoted to sub-officer, and then I was catapulted into the post of the deputy chief in 2012. And 2 years later, I was sitting in the office of the chief fire officer. During that period, I have worked in almost every area in the fire service and established a lot of units in the fire service. And I believe that my time there actually did something for the development of the fire service. But I can say definitely the fire service also developing in a tremendous way. So I'm really enjoyed my 36 years. Sometimes I look back and I don't believe it's actually 36, because I still feel like something like 20, 26.
There you go.
And I think I have another multi years to go. But once that is the case, and the Lord give me health and strength, I will serve the people and the public of Barbados.
Wonderful. Well, based on what you're saying, it didn't take you very long to get into that leadership position, or into a leadership position within the service. What are some of the challenges that you would have faced prior to becoming chief fire officer?
During the early days in service, and let me say this up front, I do not consider a challenge, or what people call a challenge, is just sometimes mean there's a little more hill for me, because I love challenges. I believe that you encounter challenges in order to develop. I believe that most things that happen to me in life is a test to see what I'm made of. So I treat it as such, as opposed to something to sidetrack me. But going through, we would have found that there were a lot of concepts that I did not agree with, and that became challenging. Things like seniority, and the person there should be the person to do it and get opportunities. I never believed in that. So you would not be able to get an opportunity to be in charge of a vehicle unless you had X amount of years, or you were the person first person there. Then you would hear that you were, in those early days, you hear you're too schoolboy, you would have to do certain activities as it relates to paper and to writing. And to me, I took those up as opportunities as opposed to challenges. So because I had the opportunity to learn. and to learn more and to learn fast. And then from there, I went into the academics and started to study and recognize that firefighting is a really, really vast discipline in which you can learn a whole lot. And from then, I was in the books studying whether it's firefighting management, something of the sort, until now. And I still continue to study because I believe that every day you should develop yourself and every day you should read or watch or do something, some training, something relating to the job. And that helps develop you and strengthen your skill set.
That's great. That is good. So based on that response, then how would you then say you would have implemented, or what would you say you would have implemented then to help enforce this aspect in terms of continued development and so on? What would you have implemented as chief?
Well, as chief, well, even before I was chief, I was given the opportunity by some former chiefs who I believe saw some value in what I had in me. And one of the things that I was passionate about is the academy, the Barbados Fire Academy, which was actually officially named, I think it is in 2016 or so. And also, I would have developed some training programs and gotten them accredited or passed by Barbados in conjunction with Barbados Community College. And we are registered with our academy is registered with the Barbados Accreditation Council. And we are also a training site for TVAC. So we put in all those, you put policies in place, or policies were put in place during my tenure to ensure that persons are trained to do the job that they are required to do. Matter of fact, you cannot, if a new PC equipment comes into the fire service, even if you knew about it from previous years, you have to be trained on that particular equipment before you use it. Because everyone needs to be adequately trained to do whatever it is that they're asked to do to ensure that they can give the public the best service possible at all times. We will strengthen the fire prevention and code enforcement unit. You've given them more staff and also given them some more authority to both within and without, that they can ensure of code compliance. Because here again, we had some challenges with some of the business houses not being compliant, and therefore we wanted the eyes out there to ensure that at any given time the workers and the customers are safe. So we work that direction. And the other thing that I'm pushing a lot is this whole idea of Barbados Fire Service being able to give to the public pre-hospital care. It's not to replace the emergency ambulance service, but to work along with them, that if some person is ill or injured, we can respond and give them just as good a care, pre-hospital care, as the ambulance service. So in doing so, we've trained a cadre of officers as EMTs, and the policy is now that all of our recruits must be trained during their recruitment process as EMTs. We've also added to that recruitment program that all recruits must be trained in search and rescue. No longer can we say that the Barbados Fire Service, because the fire is there, that the only thing that we do is to attend fires. Or we attend fires, but there are other hazards other than fires that you will hear. I'm sure that you would have heard Ms. Ford and her colleagues on the program before speaking to some of these other hazards that we have to attend to. And therefore, search and rescue is one. We just had the volcano eruption in St. Vincent. Now, fortunately, there wasn't a lot of buildings collapsed and people trapped. But if that was the case, we would have sent persons there to assist in search and rescue, because we have search and rescue teams prepared and always ready to respond, whether it's domestically or regionally. So we've made some changes, and all of these is to develop the price service to be a highly professional service seen by all. We need that everyone should see the price service. You know they're professional, not by saying that they're professional, but because they're trained to a professional level, and their behavior also demonstrate that they are professionals.
How important then is continual training? Because I mean, yes, it's good to have the training upon entering the position. Is there continual training even as technology advances? How important is that in the service?
That is critical, actually. That is critical because here again, an example is that every year we reduce our fires by approximately 100, 100, and we said by 10%, but we reduce them by over 100 fires every year, we get a reduction. It means that the officers previously would have had a lot of fires to go to and they would get experience in that area. That is not the case. So we have to do training on the station, training every day in order for the officers to maintain their skill set. So we have on station training, and every shift you should actually have to do at least 2 hours per shift of training. That is a policy. And then we have the professional development training that is done at the academy. And then there are external training that we will send persons overseas or even regional or whatever it is, whether it's management or some technical training that is related directly to the job that you're doing, we will send persons that. So training is very, very, very high on the agenda. And you will see any officer will be telling you that probably the buzzword out of the chief mouth is training and development. You have to train. And that is the only way that you can be ready to respond when something happens. My philosophy is generally that if you're not ready and you're not skillful enough, you will react when something happens. Once you're well-trained and you know what to do, then you can respond because you respond in a definite way. So you can respond in that occasion. So that is why training is so important. You can't be second guessing.
Mm-hmm. But
in our profession, if you don't train and once you make a mistake, it can be either destruction of some person's property or life or death.
Agreed. That's true. What then about, what about adding equipment? As I said, as technology advances, we know that there are different tools, different appliances maybe, or things that are needed to enhance the service. I mean, we talk about Hollywood sometimes and the lack of, I don't want to say truth, but what is perceived by what we see on TV as it relates to fires. How advanced would you say the Barbados Fire Service is in relation to technology that is available for fire service on the whole globally?
Very good question. And because I want to go take you to the Hollywood aspect of it and then bring you to the reality. Right. The Hollywood aspect of it, excuse me, is that you will find on television on 911 and Chicago Fire and these the pictures that a lot of people love. That type of firefighting that they are doing, that is only for Hollywood. That is dangerous. It is not firefighting. And therefore, that is just to glamorize the show. But I will say that the Barbados Fire Service is thereabout as it relates to the use of modern equipment with most of the international organizations. We had two electrical equipment, because the whole electrical, what you call the jaws of life, but the hydraulic tools. And that is to move away from the one that use gas. Mm-hmm. That is two engines you have to get, more maintenance. And then you try not to use the hydrocarbons for energy. So we are moving that direction. We have the cutting equipment. We have the thermal imaging camera. We've also sourced some devices to check for vibrations and find persons. We ain't got search and rescue and collapsed buildings. And we've used it on many occasions to identify even cracks in buildings for the government and some other agencies that wanted that service. We can use it to find you if you're lost in a building. And we have on the way a few other pieces of equipment, thermal imaging camera. We have a couple more coming. So, and the harnesses, as a matter of fact, I can say that almost everything in the fire service right now is computerized. All of our record keeping is computerized. We just yesterday, as early as yesterday, we were looking at a piece of software that will do the CAD, the computer aided dispatch, where we will operate like what you see on television, 911 system, and that's where we're looking at currently to introduce in our new dispatch center. As you would have been aware, we are building a new structure at Pine Prince Road in the Pine St. Michael's, and that will come with a dispatch center fully equipped with all of the modern dispatching equipment and resources that you can have. We have a few trackers on a few of the vehicles that can tell you where the vehicle is, and that allows you to dispatch the closest vehicle to the scene of an incident. So we are utilizing the technology. We are not as